Well, good morning, church family. Welcome home and welcome to the family. And you know, my prayer for you is that through the first 7 days of our 28-day fast, it's been all right for you. Hopefully, you've been able to connect with God. And man, I just love that our church, in the process of starting a new year, we said, hey, we're willing to give something up to pursue God more passionately. I don't think you can start your year better than that. And so I've been praying for you and our church family as we kind of navigate that fast together. And again, we're honored that you're here, no matter where you're joining us from. Welcome home and welcome to the family. You know, if I look back on my childhood, there's one moment that I remember pretty vividly, like it was yesterday. I was a third grader, and I was preparing and getting ready for my first sleepover. I had waited for this moment, and so my buddy Mike and six of my other friends, third and fourth graders, we were all celebrating Mike's birthday. So we went to his house, and we started the party, and we played Sega Genesis. You know what I'm talking about? Sega Genesis for hours upon hours. We ate as much pizza as we could fit in our little stomachs. We drank so much Coca-Cola, I didn't want to tell my mom. And right, like it was like a dream come true for me. It was like this moment of independence, this moment of like sleeping over with my guys. It was great. And to kind of seal the deal of the sleepover, right, we got all of our sleeping bags and we laid them next to each other. I was cozied down in my sleeping bag and we were going to watch a movie and then fall asleep. And I couldn't wait. This was amazing to me. And so I had no clue what movie we were watching, but I was ready for it. And so I got tucked into the sleeping bag and the movie began to play. And little did I know that the movie that was playing was called Chucky. If you don't know anything about the movie Chucky, it's a horror movie about a doll that kind of goes crazy. And so as I'm watching the plot of this movie unfold as a third grader, I am bombarded, I am overwhelmed with this emotion called fear. I didn't know what to do. I just kind of kept getting deeper and deeper into my sleeping bag. As all my other friends fell asleep, I was terrified to just close my eyes. I didn't sleep one iota that night because I was terrified. And I would bet probably all of us, we know that emotion called fear. We've dealt with it. We've wrestled with it. We've been in maybe different scenarios, but the same feeling that I was feeling as a third grader. In fact, I'm curious, when is the last time you were afraid? When's the last time over this last week that fear rushed up and overwhelmed you? Maybe for some of us as parents, we were afraid thinking about the future for our children. Maybe some of you were afraid because you thought cancer might be coming back again. Maybe some of you were afraid about your future and your job or a hard conversation that you had to have but that you were afraid to have. Or maybe you were afraid entering your annual review with your boss. You see, here's the truth. We all have a relationship with fear. The question is it the right one? We all deal with fear. The question is are we handling our fear in a God-honoring, biblical way? And that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 5 weeks in this series called In the Face of Fear. We're going to wrestle with the fears that we all have. We're going to get a proper theology, a biblical theology of fear, and we're going to talk about how we can slowly overcome the fears that we all have. And so I'm going to start by just asking the question, what does the Bible have to teach us about fear? And I'll just warn you this morning, I'm gonna bombard you with the scriptures, right? You're gonna see really quickly, I'm gonna hit you with a ton of scriptures, and you're gonna see what the scriptures say over and over again about fear. Let's start in the Old Testament, Isaiah 41. It says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalms 23, it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Deuteronomy 31, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He would never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua chapter 1, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's go to the New Testament. John chapter 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. 2 Timothy 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Romans 8, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Hebrews 13, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Revelation chapter 1, then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. So right there, you are just bombarded with this command. Do not be afraid. In fact, if you were to read your Bible from cover to cover, the most consistent command you will read is do not be afraid. In fact, I just read to you 3% of the times the Bible teaches us not to be afraid. It's used 370 times throughout the scriptures. And I don't know about you, but when I read those verses, I've read them 3 times now, and automatically I have this tendency in my life to feel guilty because I am afraid sometimes. I would bet you can relate to that, right? The Bible says, do not be afraid, and we wonder like, okay, well then why am I afraid of certain things? Am I just that bad at being a Christian that I can't get this area of my life right? It makes us ask questions like, okay, is being afraid always wrong? Like, the Bible tells me not to be afraid and I'm afraid. Am I always doing a wrong thing? Is there ever a right time to be full of fear? Or am I just like lacking trust in God? I'm just so bad at trusting in God. That's why I feel fear. And I think a lot of us wrestle with that. Because if the Bible is consistently saying, do not be afraid, we wonder, then why am I afraid? And so this morning, as we begin this journey, I want you to have a proper understanding of fear. I want you to see it the way God does it. And so what I'm gonna do this morning is I'm gonna put fears in 2 categories. We're all afraid, but I wanna make us understand we're not living out in the wrong fears. And so the first category of fears are what I would call good fears, appropriate fears. The first category of fears that find in itself is what in this category is what I would call natural fear. This is what we would maybe label as concern, right? Natural fears are instinctive feelings, emotions that we have when we are in danger. You see, God hardwired your body when danger is present to feel the emotion of fear, and it's appropriate. It's normal. It's the way God designed you. Let me give you an example of a natural fear. Let's just say for some reason, you and your family decide to go to the Adirondacks. It's fall and you wanna see the foliage. And so you decide to go get a place and walk through the wilderness, just enjoying the landscape. And so you get there, you drive, and you take you and your family, even your dog, and you're hiking through the Adirondacks. You're amazed at the beauty, and your kids go a little bit farther than you, and you're watching them, and you're just walking around, you're looking, and then all of a sudden you notice there's a bear not too far away. Naturally, you're going to feel a little bit of fear. Why? Because that bear has the capacity of hurting you or someone you love. And so to be afraid in that moment is perfectly appropriate. Sometimes when we come to high cliffs and we come to the edge and we look over the edge and it's a sheer drop, there's something in our body that feels afraid. It's warning us, hey, don't go any farther. Right, these are normal fears. We see these type of fears in the scripture, right? The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest preachers, leaders in the Bible, he preaches the gospel all over, and some people didn't like it, and so they tried to kill him. And so what does Paul do? In his fear, he hides for his life. We see natural fear in the story of Jesus' birth, the Christmas story. The angels come to the shepherds, and what do the angels say to them? Look what it says. It says, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Why were the shepherds afraid? Well, because when something shiny in the sky starts to speak to you, your natural tendency, your hardwiring, is to be like, whoa, what is happening? I'm terrified. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, like a buff guy like Drew is probably not afraid of much. I appreciate that compliment, by the way. But I have natural fears in my life. You want to know what I'm naturally afraid of? Snakes. I'm like, can I just get an amen? Like, who's afraid of snakes here? Amen, right? There's a reason why the devil showed up in a snake. We're all supposed to be afraid of them, right? I'm just saying. So we all have different things in our life that we're just naturally afraid of, and that's perfectly okay. Another type of good fear is what I'm labeling reverent fear, right? Reverent fear is when we have such awe and respect for something so much bigger and greater than us. And what's interesting about this type of fear is we as Christians are actually called to live in this fear, to practice it. The Psalms and the Proverbs teach us that, right? Proverbs chapter 1, it says the fear of the Lord, right? So this respect, this awe of God is the beginning of knowledge. Psalms 111, it says the fear, here we go again, this awe of God, this respect of God is the beginning of wisdom, and all who practice it, all who live in it, walk in it, have good understanding. Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So here the scriptures are calling us to live in fear. Right? But Matthew takes it to a whole nother level. Look what Matthew says. He says, do not be afraid. So we're not supposed to be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Interesting. Now it turns. It says, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And so when it comes to our relationship with God, right, we're here as Christ followers because we want to walk deeper with God. And part of walking deeper with God is having a proper fear of the Lord. Right? It's understanding who God is and respecting his power, his holiness, his might. And I'm telling you, you want to mature in your faith, you get a proper view of God and you will begin to start fearing the Lord. We see this in really powerful biblical figures, one named Moses. Moses, as he is being called to go deliver the nation of Israel out of bondage, there's this burning bush moment. And in this burning bush moment where God's presence is, Moses has to turn his face from it because it's God. We see in Isaiah, this vision he has, he sees the Lord Almighty. And look what he says. He says, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And you see these two biblical characters getting a glimpse of God and having this reverent fear for who he is. And so in your life, there are appropriate places to experience fear. Natural fears and reverent fears. But here's the problem with fear. Right? Fear itself is not the problem. It's how we respond to it that takes it from appropriate or good and transitions it into bad or sinful fear. And so the second category of fear that I want to talk about is the ones that we often struggle with. The first category of sinful fear is what I would label as consuming fear. This is the type of fear in your life that overtakes you. It begins to overtake your thoughts in your mind. Your actions, and here's what consuming fear does. It ultimately causes you to be more reliant on you than God. It teaches you, it warps your way of thinking. And let me give you some examples of consuming fear, because some of you, you live there. You know it. Some of you as parents, you can't stop playing the bad things that could happen to your kids in your head. When they go away, when you think about their future, all you can do in your mind is think about the horrible, nasty things that could happen to them. For some of you, it's with your health, right? You've diagnosed yourself with cancer or other diseases that haven't even happened to you yet because you're afraid. For some of you, it's your future and your career, your job. You continue to play ideas and thoughts in your head of how you're going to lose your job because it's your primary income and you can't imagine a world without it. For some of you, it's your future marriage, right? You're single and you can never find the right person. And so you just play these roles in your head of like, you'll never find Mr. or Mrs. Right. And so you live constantly with this consuming fear. Right? And when you have indicators of consuming fear, right, you struggle with worry and anxiety, your peace and your joy is stolen from you. It makes you irrational, causes you to make desperate and foolish decisions. It can also cause depression in your life. And you know, one thing I often try to remind our church is when I teach God's word, I am not teaching it at you, I'm teaching it with us. Because here's the reality, I know consuming fear. I've lived with it for the last 7 years of my life. You see, it started about 7 years ago. I was boarding a plane. I used to love to fly. Traveling was amazing. Man, I couldn't wait to get on a plane and experience somewhere new. But 7 years ago, I got on a plane and I had the worst experience of my life. There were moments where I didn't think we were going to make it. Turbulence so violent that I was praying like I never prayed before. I was terrified. And from that moment, the thought of flying would breed anxiety and worry in my heart. Anytime I would plan a trip for work, anytime I would plan a trip for vacation to get on a flight, all I could do is think about all the things that could go wrong, all the turbulence that was going to happen. And honestly, the irony of this message, we plan our messages 6 months in advance. And tomorrow, guess what I'm going to do at 12 o'clock? Get on a plane. Stand in the face of my fear. And probably many of you can resonate with my story because maybe it's not flying for you, but you have a fear in your life that consumes you. When it comes up in conversation, it causes you to feel uneasy, it causes you to feel like worried and full of anxiety because it's taking over. And here's what you have to understand: the enemy loves to use fear in your life. Right? We have to be reminded that we have an enemy, and the enemy, the thief, only comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. And he will often use your fears, what starts as natural fear, what starts as normal fear, and he will distort it to get it to consume you. Because here's what happens. When you deal with consuming fear, it warps your view of God. It teaches you a different theology, a false theology of who God is, because your consuming fear, it reminds you that God doesn't care about you. Your consuming fear tells you God's not big enough, mighty enough to save you, protect you. God doesn't care about what's going on in your life, the little details. God's not worth putting your trust in. And it teaches you and it lies to you. And many of you know this because you struggle through consuming fear. The second type of sinful fear I'll call compromising fear. You see, this fear is a little bit different. Right, this is the type of fear that where you lose your reverence for God, a fear you're supposed to live in, you lose it, and you put your trust in something else, and it causes you to compromise. But what's interesting about this fear is it disguises itself so well. It actually shows up in your life as confidence and security rather than fear. But it's confidence and security and shaky ground. And the moment you lose that shaky ground, it causes you to compromise on the things that you believe. And so you have to be very careful of compromising fear because it lives behind the scenes. It shows up different than what you see it as. And we see this type of compromising fear in the Bible in one of the guys who was closest to Jesus. His name was Peter. Peter was one of the 12 disciples. He was in their inner circle. And in a moment, Peter shows his compromising fear when Jesus is arrested. He tries to defend Jesus. Jesus tells him not to. And so they take Jesus to the high priest's house. And there's this fire outside as Peter follows along and he watches Jesus. And there's this crowd that comes up to Peter and says, "Hey, aren't you with that criminal?" "No, not me." Wait, aren't you one of his followers? No, that's not me. Three times, Peter says, I don't know Jesus. And what happens is in the midst of his fear, he compromises what he believes. And so many of us fall to this trap. In the midst of our fear, it causes us to compromise. As teenagers, the fear of not fitting in causes us to drop the truth, so we just fit into the crowd. As adults, our fear of losing our security and our money causes us to hold tightly to it rather than be generous. In making decisions for our careers, we make it solely based on salary rather than calling or impact. It's when we compromise because we can't see a better way. And this is such a subtle fear that many of us will ask, like, well, how do I know I'm struggling with this fear? Well, when you fear losing something you love more than obeying God, you're struggling with compromising fear. When you're willing to sin to keep something, you're struggling with compromising fear. And here's what you have to understand. Compromising fear replaces your trust in God and moves it to something else. It's when you look at your life and you say, you know what, I trust the number in my bank account to provide for my family rather than God. You know, I trust this relationship to satisfy me, to give me meaning and purpose more than God. It's when I trust my diet or my health regimen to protect me from disease and cancer more than God. And what it causes you to do is that shaky ground that you've banked on, when it leaves, it causes you to compromise, to place your trust in something that you think might be better than God. So we have to be wary, and we've been warned of consuming and compromising fear in our lives. Here's the deal. I don't care who you are. I don't care how big or strong you think you are. I don't care how ready you are to take on all that life throws your way. Every single one of us has to wrestle, deal with fear. It looks different for all of us. We all have a relationship with it. The question is, in your life, is it the right one? As you handle fear, are you honoring God or not? And so this week, as we begin this journey, it's not all about solutions. Like, today is not all about, like, hey, here's how you fix your fear. I think the first step we all have to get to is we have to look at our lives and say, hey, where has fear gone wrong in my life? We have to identify it, name it, stop justifying it. Because for many of us, it started as an appropriate fear. It started as a natural fear. Oh, everybody's afraid of this. But over time, the enemy began to whisper and lie about that fear, that natural fear, and he's made it bigger. And now it consumes you. Now you can't stop thinking about it. Now it's caused anxiety and worry in your life because he's trying to steal from you. He's trying to pull your trust from God into something else. And it's time, as a church, we say, that fear is no longer acceptable. So can I ask you, where in your life has fear gone wrong? Where is it consuming you? Where can you stop thinking about it? Where has fear caused you to trust maybe in yourself or in something else rather than God? Where are you compromising because of your fear? And this week, my hope is that you would identify that struggle in your life, that you would see it for what it is, and that during this week, when you feel that fear arise in your heart, you would take it to Jesus. I love that we're in the midst of a fast, because one of the most powerful things you can do in the midst of your fear is go to God. Right? What does the scripture say over and over again? It says, do not be afraid. Why? Because he's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, because you can bank on him. And so take your fears to God. And when you feel fear, we just ask God, God, I need help. Start the journey in my heart where I understand this isn't appropriate anymore. And will you begin the journey of helping me? Here's good news for all of us today. We all deal with fear. But because of Jesus, we don't have to stay stuck in our fear. There is hope through the power of God's Spirit and His Word and through the person of Jesus Christ. My hope is that this journey for our church family, we see fear for what it is and we begin the journey of changing our relationship with it. So let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us enough to call us out, God. But there's certain things that have consumed our mind that shouldn't be there anymore. And God, it's not an easy journey to overcome fear, but we recognize you are with us through the whole way. So many things to be afraid of. Our futures, our kids, our jobs, our security. Like if we really think about it, there's a lot of things that we are terrified of. So God, I pray above anything else that this would be the beginning of us learning to trust you more, to have a reverent fear of how amazing and big and holy you are, and that you are worthy of our trust. Help us in Jesus' name.